From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On our previous program, Dr. Cairns began a series of messages focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to Himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am that I am. Here is the revelation of the God of eternity, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. During His earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to Himself, clearly stating His deity, that He was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 104 and verse 16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Without sap, the tree cannot flourish or even exist. Vitality is essential to a Christian. There must be life, a vital principle infused into us by God the Holy Ghost, or we cannot be trees of the Lord. The mere name of being a Christian is but a dead thing. We must be filled with the Spirit of divine life. This life is mysterious. We do not understand the circulation of the sap, by what force it rises, and by what power it descends again. So the life within us is a sacred mystery. Regeneration is wrought by the Holy Ghost entering into man and becoming man's life. And this divine life in a believer afterwards feeds upon the flesh and blood of Christ, and is thus sustained by divine food. But whence it cometh and whither it goeth, who shall explain to us? What a secret thing the sap is! The roots go searching through the soil with their little spongules, but we cannot see them suck out the various gases or transmute the mineral into the vegetable. This work is done down in the dark. Our root is Christ Jesus, and our life is hid with Him. This is the secret of the Lord. The radix of the Christian life is as secret as the life itself. How permanently active is the sap in the cedar! In the Christian, the divine life is always full of energy, not always in fruit-bearing, but in inward operations. The believer's graces, are not every one of them in constant motion? But his life never ceases to palpitate within. He is not always working for God, but his heart is always living upon Him. As the sap manifests itself in producing the foliage and fruit of the tree, so with a truly healthy Christian, his grace is externally manifested in his walk and conversation. If you talk with him, he cannot help speaking about Jesus. If you notice his actions, you will see that he has been with Jesus. He has so much sap within that it must fill his conduct and conversation with life.
From the
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections, entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise. This CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in John's Gospel where the Lord Jesus Christ asserted his deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. The text for this message is verse 35 of John chapter 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. The context of this passage finds Christ rebuking the crowd for following him only for material satisfaction. They had just participated in the feeding of the 5,000, and Christ knew that they were not interested in spiritual things, but in filling their bellies. In stating his identity as the true bread from heaven, Christ emphasized mankind's real need, the salvation of men's souls. In addition, he was showing God's sole provision to meet that need. Furthermore, by telling the multitude that they must eat this true bread, Jesus was revealing that the only way to receive God's provision was by believing on Christ. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
In every one of these great I Am statements, the Lord Jesus is emphasizing his deity. He is emphasizing that he is Jehovah. And in these statements, he explores the fullness of what he, the Son of God, became and did to save his people from their sins. Now, looking at the text, specifically verse 35. I am the bread of life. What he's saying is, I am Jehovah. I am God incarnate. The only one who can give you true eternal life and satisfy your soul. That's the message. I want us to think this morning, therefore, very simply, of the life-giving, life-sustaining, and soul-satisfying Savior of sinners. For that's how Christ presents himself. And in doing so, he shows us four important truths. First, he reveals the real needs of men. Jesus is saying, don't be so much taken up with the needs of the body that you forget the needs of the soul. Don't be taken up so much with the lust of the flesh that you forget that you need to be delivered from it. Don't be so much taken up with indulging yourself that you damn your soul. The great need is to be saved from dying forever. So he shows the need. The second great thing that he shows is God's sole provision to meet that need. He says, I am the bread of life. And later he goes on to say that through this bread, those who eat of it will live forever. Now, you know, the Jews were very proud of Moses and proud of all he had done for them. They were especially proud of his law, and the Jews saw that law as their salvation. But look at what Jesus says in verse 32. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Let me just pay attention to the tense of the verbs. Moses has not given the bread out of heaven. That's what Jesus said. Moses has not given you the bread out of heaven. Not when he gave the manna. Not when he gave the law. Not when he set up the sacrificial system. Oh, these all have their place in pointing forward, but these are not the true bread from heaven. Moses has not given you the bread from heaven. But my Father is giving you the true bread out of heaven, the present tense. Moses has not given it to you. There is no salvation in Moses. There is no salvation in the law. There is no salvation in the observance thereof. Moses has not given you the true bread. Oh, he has spoken of it. He has pointed forward to it. He has prepared the way for it. But now the time has come, and my Father is now giving you the true bread out of heaven. Now this is linked in, obviously, with the reference to the manna. The Savior is telling them plainly that as the manna was God's provision for the needs of bodies that were dying in the wilderness, so I am his only provision for the needs of souls that without me must die. You'll notice the exclusiveness of the claim. I am the bread of life. According to your ecumenical apostates today, Jesus should have said very humbly, I am one of the loaves of the many loaves that God has provided, and you may find Buddha is a loaf and Muhammad's a loaf and somebody else is a loaf. But Jesus didn't say that. He says, I am the bread. There is no other. And you may be absolutely sure of it, that if he said, Moses has not given you the true bread, that we're not going beyond Scripture when we say, Buddha hasn't given you the true bread, and Muhammad hasn't given you the true bread, and the Pope hasn't given you the true bread, nor has any man who has developed any other way of salvation other than that which Jesus Christ sets forth. He says, I exclusively am the true bread. I am. That is the Lord in his own person. The Lord in His total person. The Lord in His humanity. But not only in His humanity. In His deity. In His deity, but not only in His deity, also in His humanity. The Lord from heaven manifested in human flesh. Jehovah incarnate. He says, I am that true bread. That unleavened, incorruptible, pure and holy, sinless bread. I am that true bread. And I meet the universal needs of man. I suppose every commentator who has ever looked at John 6 has made the point that Jesus chooses for this metaphor the word bread, the most fundamental form of food, the universal food. He's getting down to the deepest level of human need. And He's saying, I meet the deepest need. I meet the universal need. Wherever there is a hunger of soul, I meet that need. And to do it, I came down from heaven. There's obviously there the idea of His incarnation. There's the idea of His purpose in that incarnation. But merely coming was not enough. Verse 51. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I think really the emphasis there is I who came down from heaven. I am the living bread. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, notice, which I will give for the life of the world. Coming was just in order to dying. Coming was in order to giving His flesh, His body, for the life of the world. That body which, as Peter says, in which He bore our sins on the tree. That sin-bearing, burden-bearing body. He came. He died. And this is the great truth of John 6. The Lord Jesus can give life because He died and conquered death. That's the truth that He's emphasizing. And that's why the gospel message must always be the message of Christ crucified. It's why we must never depart from the preaching of the cross in our preaching. We must never divorce anything in salvation or in sanctification or in service from the cross. That is absolutely central. You can never get away from it. You can never make too much of the cross work of Jesus Christ. It's the message of Christ crucified. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. He preached it to the Jews, He preached it to the Gentiles, He preached it to sinners, He preached it to saints. He preached it for salvation, He preached it for service. He preached Christ crucified and presented some aspect of Christ crucified to every man, whatever his need, because that's the answer that God has given to the needs of men. Peter said, you were redeemed. With what? The precious blood of Christ. That's how you're redeemed. That's the message. So the need is to be saved from the second death. The provision to meet that need is Jesus Christ, described here as the bread of life. What He's saying is, I have brought, and I quote here some words, or almost quote some words of the great Scottish preacher Horatius Bonner. He says, I have brought the granary and the storehouse of heaven to you. I don't want to go into the technicalities here, but the reference to the coming of Christ, there is this important emphasis that He did come. That's past. God did give at the coming of Christ. There was a giving. That's past. But there's a giving that is continuing.
It's not that Christ keeps on coming in incarnation, but he keeps on being given. There is that constant giving, the perpetual supply, the never-failing fullness of Christ. What he's saying is, here's your need, and here's God's provision. The third great thing that he emphasizes is that there's only one way to receive that provision, and that is to eat. Notice verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, or anyone may eat thereof. Wish all the hypers would read that verse. Anyone may eat thereof and not die. And then verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man or any one eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Verse 53. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Now there's only one way to receive Christ, and that is, he says, by eating. Now this is where you've got to remember John Chrysostom's warning. This is not a carnal eating. This is not eating and drinking at the Lord's table. If that were so, then everybody who ate and drank at the Lord's table would be saved. They would take in Christ. That would be simple. But we're not talking about a carnal eating. These are pictorial definitions of a personal saving faith. And you'll find that made very clear if you go back to verse 35 and verse 37. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now later he says, you have to eat, you have to drink. He has already explained that. Eating is coming. Eating is believing. No less a theologian dealing with the controversy of the Lord's table. No less a theologian than Augustine of Hippo, the one whom many Roman Catholics have referred to as the great founder of their view of the church. Unfortunately, there's some truth in that. Not going into the historical theology of it, what he was developing, fighting a group called the Donatists, he developed a notion of the church that Rome has used to great effect. But no less a one than Augustine said, to eat is to believe is to eat. That's what it means to eat. To eat is not to take the sacrament. To eat is to take Christ by personal saving faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.